This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Olu George Ministries presents Focus on Freedom Podcast. We're covering the face of the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. Welcome to an encounter with timeless, transcendent, and triumphant truth. Here's your brother, friend, and messenger, Olu M. George.
In our last discourse, we talked briefly about the simplicity of Christ. That's chapter 6 of the book Stressless, Lethal Answers for the Nervous Souls. In the previous teachings, I have taken time to teach about each chapter for more than one episode. But because of the length of time, I'm now doing one chapter per episode. Simplicity is genius. Simplicity is beautiful. Simplicity is Christ-likeness. Simplicity is profundity. Christ was the greatest mind, and yet he was the simplest person. So simple, many who hanged out with him were said to not be trained, but they manifested such boldness. Their lives were decorated by such signs, wonders, and miracles that in Acts chapter 4 verse 13, the Bible says they took notice with them that they have been with Jesus. We live in a complicated world. Things are getting more and more complicated. Simple things like walking up to your bank and complaining about a transaction on your account is becoming more and more complicated. The human mind does not like simplicity. The human mind thinks simplicity does not have value. That anything that has value cannot be that simple. The answers to some of life's greatest and deepest problems are not complicated at all. I give an example of marriage. Let me approach that example from another angle. I remember a friend of mine who was having marital difficulties. He went to a wise counselor, and the wise counselor listened intently to all his complaints and all his attacks on his wife. And after much vituperation from his side, the counselor gave a prescription. "My dear friend, go back home and love your wife." He was upset. The answer cannot be that simple. This woman is evil. Loving her cannot be that simple. Yet, the Bible says it is that simple. Husbands, love your wives. Many wives have been told, wives, submit to your husband. And the wives do not want to submit because they are equal, they are educated, they are financially empowered. How do I submit to a man? You see, we don't like simple things. We like complicated 10-step, 7-step, 12-step programs. The more steps, the better. The more complicated, the more confident we are that after we have done all these things, then we have earned our rights. But God's greatest gifts cannot be earned. The ability to breathe was not earned. Life itself was not earned. Grace of God cannot be earned. Forgiveness cannot be earned. Somebody paid the price. When we were dealing with the issue of guilt, I made a statement that God cannot forgive sin. His holiness forbids it because sin is egregious. Sin is so despicable. But God cannot resist repentance. His love, His mercy, His compassion demands it. So, today, we want to look at another thief of the peace of God. Another thing that blocks the access of a child of God to this quality of life that Jesus offered us. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls. Jesus said, my peace I give you, but not like the world gives. My peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. Today we are dealing with the issue of legalism. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'll read it one more time. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Acts 15:10. We referenced that last week. So why are you testing God? You're putting a burden on the disciples, a burden neither our ancestors nor we can carry. Galatians 5:1. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Read it one more time. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone or anything put a harness of slavery on you. You see, the issue of legalism is connected in a way to the simplicity of Christ. Legalism says, I've got to do something to earn the blessing of God. I just can't, just believing is not enough. One man came to Jesus in the crowd to ask him to come heal his daughter. In the course of Jesus going to his house, a woman who had hemorrhaged for 12 years came up in the crowd, touched the garment of Jesus, received healing. Jesus stops to converse with her, first to ask, who touched me? That whole unfolding of events delayed Jesus some time. And a message came from his home, the child is dead. Do not bother the master. Now, what is the solution to that problem? The child is dead. Do not bother the master. What do you tell that kind of guy? Jesus' solution was twofold. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Too simple. Because this man wants to tear out his hair. He wants to scream. He wants to roll on the floor. Remember Naaman, the general, the Syrian general in 2 Kings. Mighty man of valor. Tremendous military general. But a leper. He went to the king of Syria because he had heard of the prophet Elisha in Israel who could heal his leprosy. So he got a letter from the king of Syria to the king of Israel who sent him to Elisha. I can't remember which one. But when it was time to meet the prophet sent something like a piece of note on his business card. Just said, go wash. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go deep in Jordan, seven times. The general was upset. He expected the prophet to come, wave his hand to the heavens, call all the 12 names of God, do some drama, some ritual, light some candles, offer some sacrifice, roll on the floor, spit in the air, do something impressive. Not just go wash in Jordan seven times. In fact, the man said, we have more better rivers in Syria than this dirty, filthy Jordan. It was too easy. Which was what one of his assistants said. Sir, if you had been asked to do some complicated ritual, you would have done it. This is so simple. But legalism says it cannot be that simple. A sinner, a prostitute, a murderer, a congenital liar, a thief, a scam artist, comes to Jesus, repents of his sin, and Jesus says, you are justified. Today, I have thrown your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Legalism says it cannot be that simple. I need to do something extra. It cannot be that simple. A man who had just committed the most heinous of sins falls on his face, beating his chest with tears in his eyes. Papa, forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus to cleanse my conscience. And immediately he receives peace. Legalism says it cannot be that simple. There needs to be some kind of penance. There needs to be some kind of restitution. There needs to be some kind of law, regulation that I need to do to be acceptable to God. It will amaze you to know that legalism is a greater problem than adultery, than fornication. If, you know, in our human understanding, it's a bigger problem because the adulterer, when he's convicted of his adultery, can repent. It takes more to convict the legalistic of the sin of legalism. You see, the salvation that Jesus came to give us is a magnificent and amazing, a consequential salvation, a beautiful salvation beyond anything that the human mind could have conceived. Jesus came to give us total freedom, and none of it is earned. Ephesians tell us, no man can boast. It is the gift of God, but the flesh likes to boast. The flesh likes to say, I tithe of everything I get every week. I fast twice a week, and I'm better than this mean, hopeless sinner here. The flesh loves to do that. See, legalism is a work of the flesh. The biggest problem with legalism is that legalism is the strength of witchcraft. Look at Galatians chapter 3. I'll read from verses 1 to 5. What has happened to you, Galatians, to be acting so foolishly? I'm reading the Passion Translation. You must have been under some evil spell. The King James, I think, is more interesting. He says, who has bewitched you? Oh, foolish Galatians. Not that they are mentally deficient, but they have bought a lie. They've bought into a lie. Many foolish people are quite smart people. Many of them have degrees. Degrees in theology even. But they have been smitten by the evil eye. They had been bewitched. He said, didn't God open your eyes to see the meaning of Christ's crucifixion? Wasn't he revealed to you as the crucified one? Verse 2. So answer me. Did the Holy Spirit come to you as a reward for keeping all the Jewish laws? No, you received the Holy Spirit as a gift, because you believed in the Messiah. Verse 3, your new life in the Anointed One began with the Holy Spirit, giving you new birth. Why then would you so foolishly turn from living in the Spirit by trying to finish by your own works? Have you endured all these trials and persecutions for nothing? Let me ask you again, what does the lavish supply of the Holy Spirit in your life and the miracles of God's tremendous power have to do with you keeping religious laws? The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us through the revelation and power of faith, not keeping a set of rules and regulations. This is what happens when the Spirit of God is poured out, when the grace of God is unleashed on a church, on a community, on a people. All rules and regulations are suspended. But very soon as man gains control of what God is trying to do, man begins to build a monument of all kinds of rules and regulations. We like our rules. We love our regulations. We love them more than God. Rules and regulation is the strength of sectarianism and denominationalism. Something that has divided the body of Christ into tiny little broken fractions and factions from the main one. Something that makes rubbish and nonsense of the great, amazing, and magnificent salvation that we have been given. Legalism is trying to please God by our own effort. It always ends in failure. The truth of the matter is that on that cross, Jesus paid for our deliverance and freedom from the power of sin. Not only that, he also paid for our deliverance and freedom from the penalty of sin. And then, even more exciting, he paid for our deliverance from and freedom from the presence of sin. You see, there's a difference between deliverance and freedom. Deliverance is being set free. Freedom is maintaining the state of being free. All of that is paid for. It means I don't have to do anything. I must just allow Jesus to work in me, both to will and to do his good pleasure. I must just submit myself so that my appetites and my desires and my propensities and my proclivities can be transformed so that I'm not struggling not to sin. I genuinely hate anything that God hates. The power of sin is the inability of mortal man to please God by his own effort. The ability of man, the inability of man to break away from ungodliness and worldly lust. The consequence of sin is all the ugliness we see in the world, the pain, the sorrow, the disease that we see, the conflicts. They are all the consequences of sin. You see, in the inner man, there's conflicts, there's war, there's disease, there's pollutions. Those are the consequences of sin. And finally, the presence of sin will be destroyed when this age comes to an end, when the walls that we live in waxes old like a garment and is folded away and put away, and a new heaven and a new earth is in this place. The presence of sin will be no more when this whole system of heaven and earth is dissolved in massive explosions and intense heat. We have entered into the unfolding of that reality. Legalism is bad because it puts the flesh at the forefront of the spiritual life. It makes the flesh the power source, and it destines and dooms us to failure. The ways of God are simple. We receive them the way they are. The Holy Spirit will convict us. The Holy Spirit will lead us. The Holy Spirit will direct us. And as we follow him with simplicity, our lives begin to assume the color, the shape, the depth, the dimension that Jesus has told us and has provided for us. I give you a scripture that baffled me, a scripture that challenges me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We will be like him. We will see him as he is. We will be like him one day. We will see him. And when we do see him, we will be exactly like him. The scriptures cannot be broken. This is true. But then you get to chapter 4 of 1 John. And not only are we going to be like him, we are as he is already in this world. Can it be that simple? Don't I need to walk with God for 30 years? To be as he is? No. No. He's already accomplished in Christ. He's already provided in Christ. The church, the early church, was so simple. Oh, they gathered in homes, not in expensive cathedrals and buildings. They met from house to house. They broke bread. They had joy and gladness. And priests were coming to Christ. Multitudes, thousands were coming to Christ. At some point, hundreds of thousands. In a space of 300 years, the whole world had been brought on its knee. And the whole world, all of Europe, became Christianized. And then what happened? Man took over. And the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of brothers and sisters, as in Acts chapter 13, ministering to the Lord and fasting and hearing the directive of the Holy Spirit. Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the ministry I've called them to. And then lay hands on them and send them forth. That simplicity became replaced with vestments, with rituals, with architecture, with a hierarchy, with a distinction between the priesthood and the laity. Even though in the early church, all believers are priests, and all believers are kings, and all believers are intercessors, and all believers had access to God. When man took over, a priest class was created apart from the general class. So man came up with laity versus the clergy. And all the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of the powerful, irresistible, unstoppable force of the pure gospel became wrapped up and disempowered in layer after layer of human tradition, human religious practices, human dogmas, human rituals. Before long, man had again succeeded in making the word of God of no effect, like the Jews of old did. Roughly 500 years ago, God raised up a priest. He wrote 95 theses against the church of the day and nailed it to the front door of his church. Cut the long story short, the Reformation proceeded. Before long, man had arisen in that movement and had also neutralized the word of God, so much so that this wonderful priest who gave us the Reformation became the most vicious and virulent anti-Semite that ever lived. You see, the human flesh always complicates and in the process contaminates the simplicity of the gospel. Let us return to the simple gospel. Let us return to the uncomplicated gospel. Let us return to the simple faith of our apostolic fathers. Let us return to the simple faith of the man of Galilee. He didn't look for titles. He didn't look for recognition. He didn't travel to the biggest cities in the region. Let's return to the simplicity of the man who gave it all. The name is Yeshua. Let us return knowing that we are loved by God. We don't have to earn it. That God is mindful of us. Let us return to the simplicity of our total acceptance in the beloved. Let's return to the simplicity that God is with us, and that one with God is a majority. Let's return to the simplicity of the declaration of the lowly man of Galilee. It is finished. God has done the most difficult part. My part is only to believe. And yes, I believe. I believe that all things are possible. Yes, I believe. Father God, thank you. As you set us free from the subtle, seductive influences of legalism, Lord, we refuse to obey any human law. We refuse to exalt human regulation, sectarian regulations. We exalt the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We exalt the leading of the Holy Spirit. We exalt the revelation of Scripture. We exalt and embrace the simplicity of our beloved Savior. Thank you, Divine Master. Blessed be your most glorious name, forever and ever, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Focus on Freedom Podcast. For more information, please visit olugeorgeministries.global or send a WhatsApp inquiry to +27 81 300 6633. Also, like, subscribe and share our content on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and YouTube. See you next time.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.